For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Another edition of the podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome with Shane Told. That's me. I'm your host, taking you into the backstage conversations that I have with other lead singers. And we've got, I want to call him a legend, but what the Arkells are doing right now, it's like, can you be a legend and just currently be doing your best shit? I don't know. A legend kind of implies like did a bunch of stuff in the past. Well, it's like, yeah, they did a bunch of stuff in the past and they're still doing it, including a new album, Laundry Pile, which is out for your listening enjoyment. They're also going on tour in the US, which is awesome for them as well. If you're not super familiar with Arkells, they are a Canadian institution. I don't know the word to use. They are a big deal north of the border. They've done so much crazy stuff and they still have a really great career in the US as well, which as we talk about a little bit in here, it can be difficult sometimes for Canadian bands that are on Canadian labels to kind of break out, but they've done a great job of it and they are just awesome and make incredible music. All their albums are awesome. And Max is one of the busiest people on the planet. And we talk about all his projects and everything else that he's got going on. And I mean, he even called me from doing a little surprise secret show at a college, which is, they're going to freak out. So man, just what a dude, what a conversation. And I am so excited to have you here back to hear it. Before we get into my chat with Max, I want to remind you guys, you can always get in touch with me. I read my emails, leadsingersyndrome@gmail.com. Maybe you got suggestions for other Canadian artists you want on the show or anything else. You can hit me up. I'd love to hear from you. And if you want to support the show, we have the All Access Club as well. For just a few bucks a month, that gets you in, gets you bonus content, part of an amazing community. Shout out to all my sinners worldwide. And it's what keeps the lights on around here, that's for sure. Without my sinners, I could not do this week after week. So yeah, check it out. The link, I should give you that too, right? LeadSingerSyndrome.com/all access. All I ask is that you check it out. I don't think I have anything else to plug right now. So yeah, enjoy my conversation with Max Kerman of R. Kelly.
Hello.
Hey, Max. What's up, man?
Not much. How you doing?
Dude, fantastic, man. You know, it's crazy. I was just looking up the last time we did this.
Mm-hmm.
It was 6.5 years ago.
Oh, really? Jesus Christ. That's crazy. It feels like not that long ago.
No, it feels like, I was going to say like maybe like 3, you know, like something like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is time, you know? It's just insane. Like I was just, I don't know, man, like, you know, we've kept in touch a little bit here and there, you know, over the last couple of years, but like, dude, congrats on all the success. It's been just so cool to see, just, you know, someone I know as just a good dude and a good band, just that, you know, just having fun with it and like making huge waves. It's just, it's awesome to see, man.
Oh, thank you. Likewise, the feeling's very mutual. By the way, I'm going to record on my end, just if you want a clean signal.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, that's amazing. I really do appreciate that. Yeah, hit that. Let's get that good audio for the people.
I gotcha. Yeah, no, thank you though. Yeah, it's so funny. We have a show tonight actually, and it's like we're playing in Kingston. It's like a Queens Frosh Week show. And
oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. It was sort of like a last minute thing that came together.
Yeah.
And we were driving here and Tony was like, oh, the last time we played here, it was like that. It was like in the square and downtown. And then we saw Anti-Flag because they were playing at the arena. I was like, Tony, that was in 2014. And we've played here 4 times since that show, like in the arena. But it's just like, no one can remember anything. Time is a confusing concept.
Right. I know. It's so confusing.
Especially when we've been doing it as long as we have at this point. So I'm sure you can relate.
Absolutely. My sister went to Queens actually. So, she'll appreciate that you guys are thrown back to her alma mater. That's
That's rad. What is this coming up, by the way?
When's this, probably in a few weeks, probably. I think two or 3 weeks behind right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is a surprise thing. We're not, the thing we're playing tonight, the students don't know.
No, this isn't live or anything. No, this is.
Yeah, no, I figured so much.
Dude, they're going to freak out, man. That's crazy.
Hopefully.
I went to Guelph. We never had anything cool like that. We had Gob, which was one time, which was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Big Gob show. That's awesome. Well, you know what's funny though? Sometimes I wonder, and I wonder if you feel the same way, is like, you know, reaching younger music fans. You know, the older you get, you're like, does any 19-year-old like know who we are or care about the genre of music or
right?
Like, where do we live in people's minds? And yeah, it's interesting. Like, you know, and it's funny too, because like, you know, our first record came out in 2008 and so now we have a lot of fans that have kids that are like turning their kids onto our music and the kids are like 8 years old. It's just
crazy,
like,
right? To see your music start to, you know, transcend generations, right? That is like, that is the craziest thing, you know, when that starts to happen. I mean, it's like, I don't know, there's a certain feeling sometimes I think we get in our own heads that like music is a little bit maybe disposable, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, oh, this is a trend right now and we're doing this and whatever. And it's the album and it, you know, like it'll be forgotten. But, you know, now it's so common for bands to celebrate anniversaries of albums and you see people coming back and enjoying them so much. And that is like, it's so cool to see that the legacy and what you did actually matters and resonates with people and resonates with their children and probably one day their children's children. You know, and it's weird to, you know, you think of like the Beatles or, you know, bands like that. Like, obviously those are bands that transcend generations, but it's weird when it's you, you know, making your own music.
No, it's so true. It's so funny. Like there's a student band that's opening tonight And they didn't I don't think they even know that we're the headlining. So I don't think the guy recognized me. Not that he needed to recognize me, but he did say, he was like, oh, you're the singer in Arkells? I'm Not the Sun is me and my sister's favorite song. And it got us through all sorts of like hard times. And this guy's like 21. And that song came out in 2008. It's like an album track from our first album. I'm like, okay, you don't recognize me, but you know a song from like what, 17 years ago or however many
it's
years
awesome,
ago.
Though. It's awesome.
It's just it's odd. It's cool. That's very cool.
I don't know. There's so many ways people can find out about music and about bands. And that's something that I've watched you guys do over the past 6.5+ years is it just seems like every time I turn on like a sports channel, your face is on it. And I'm like, hey, that's Max. It's great. Like, you know, and I mean, you know, obviously like fucking all the Raptor shit was incredible. I mean, you must have been beside yourself. 2019, mm-hmm. Nick Nurse coming on stage. Oh, it's sad he's gone, huh? I love Nick Nurse.
I know.
But you know, all that stuff, like it's like, you know, and why I'm bringing this up right now is because I think those are all such different demographics than you might have as like a aging rock band. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because sports are so universal and people of all ages, you know, people from age 6 to age 60 or older are watching, you know, our Toronto sports teams or whatever and seeing you in those elements. It's like people are going to find out about the Arkells all over the place, not just, oh, I like rock music and I heard it on the radio or on a playlist or whatever. And I think that that's been a really, really cool thing for you guys just to kind of not just transcend, you know, generations with that, but also transcend outlets and just have your music just kind of everywhere.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I think we're all, if we're in a band and this is like sort of your job and your business, like you're always thinking about like, okay, how do you reach people? And, you know, in the past, you know, when we both started bands, you're like, okay, there's a path. If you're lucky enough to get a song on a radio or you get on a good tour or you're on a label and they're getting good shelving space at HMV
right.
or something, it's like, you know, that's the way people discover your music. But, you know, as time has progressed and, you know, those old mediums don't mean as much. And you're like, okay, how are you going to interact with the world on say social media, or what are other avenues, as you're saying, like through sports or television that like might get the word out about your band. We found that like, and I think this is just like a good rule for anybody in any band is like, you just have to be the most honest and authentic version of yourself. Because the second you start doing dumb TikTok dances or something like that, which I've considered, but I'm like, wait a sec, I don't want to do that. Like
no,
the second you start doing something that isn't true to who you are, then people can smell it on you pretty quick. So I feel like with, you know, any of our sort of like outside interests beyond the music, whether that's, you know, sports or friendships with Nick Nurse or knowing some guys in the NHL or whatever it may be, they always kind of come from an honest place of just like interest.
Right.
And, you know, I'm a big sports fan. I love playing basketball. You know, I love podcasts and like, I love these long form conversations with you and so even, you know, cause we have a record coming out in a couple of weeks.
Yep.
It might be out by actually by the time this episode comes out.
I think it might be out now. Yes.
Awesome. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, what are, you know, ways I want to spend my time just talking to interesting people. and then hopefully, in doing that, people kind of are aware that our band is up to stuff.
Yes.
And it's, but I think you just have to kind of do what feels real to you. And that can be different for every single person. I think there's a lot of bands that wouldn't want to do any of the things I do. And I respect that, but it just has to be true to your own experience and your own set of interests.
No, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you hit the nail on the head with all of that. And I do speaking to you and I do appreciate your time so much because I don't know how you have any. You do so much stuff. We'll get into it all probably over the course of this conversation, but I just don't know. I guess my question is, when was the last time you woke up in the morning and was like, I've got nothing to do today. It's just, I'm just going to like make some coffee, hang out, do whatever I want, like play video. I don't know, whatever you like to do. Does that ever happen? Because I feel like you must have every single week just jammed with every, you know, all the stuff that you do, like from producing music for television shows, like The Dessert, mm-hmm. All your own podcast stuff, of course, all the Arkells music, all the other press stuff that you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's crazy, man. It's crazy.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, you can ask any of my friends. I'm kind of like the worst guy to like take to a cottage because I just like not very good at chilling. I'm a bit of a busybody. I always like need to go for a walk or go to a coffee shop or, you know, and I'm in Toronto now and people are just like, I see that dude just walking around all day. but you know, I just really love being immersed in like in a creative thought, in a creative project. And it's so much fun for me. And I'm lucky that like I've sort of outsourced all the stuff I'm really bad at or the stuff I'm not interested in. So anything that's nice. The minute something becomes sort of tedious or I want to take a nap. So I've sort of just like arranged my life that like every morning I wake up and I'm just like kind of pumped to get to work because, you know, you want to make everything as good as it can be. And, you know, right now we're in the midst of like getting ready for a tour. It starts September 29th and it's in the States. And we're just like, okay, this is going to be a lot of clubs that you guys are playing. We're playing a bunch of the same rooms, actually. I was looking at your tour dates.
Awesome.
In the States. Yeah. And it's just like, okay, how do you make this tour feel different than the last time we went out and toured those rooms? Like, how do you make each night kind of interesting? And that's sort of, like at least today, just to give you kind of the most recent example of like where my brain goes in the morning is like, okay, I want to make sure that I'm engaged in the tour and I don't want to feel like, you know, it's a blur and I don't want to get bored with it. I want to make sure that like each night feels special. I want to make sure it's way different than the last time. Okay, what does that mean? Okay, what are we wearing? What does the set list look like? Are there any props? Am I having conversations with our lighting and sound team every day? And again, like these are all like, none of it's particularly complicated because I think I have a pretty simple brain, but it is like immersive and I care about it. And I want to kind of, if we're going to do all this work and spend all this money going on the road, you figure it's your sort of responsibility to sort of make it as good as it can be. So that's the first thing. And I think the second part about it is that like, one thing I've realized is I get stuck pretty quick when it comes to ideas. So the first thing I do is just pick up the phone and call somebody who knows how to open my mind a little bit or might have an answer for me. So a lot of the time, like in the morning, I'll have like a nugget of an idea that I think is good. And I'm like, okay, who in our world like would have an answer to kind of figure out this creative, you know, puzzle? And a lot of that's the band. A lot of that's our manager, Ash, but like also our booking agent who we've worked with forever, or our music producers, right, or the guys that do the podcast with. So it's like, I think if I'm good at one thing, it's sort of like having a nugget of idea, but then also like not getting stuck on it. Because if you know how not to get stuck on something, that can be one of your most like valuable assets, because it's pretty easy for people to go, huh, I don't know, and then kind of stop thinking about
totally.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
that's how I keep busy all the time, is just calling people.
You called yourself having a simple brain, was it? It's like, okay, you can use everyone else's simple brains, and maybe you put a few simple brains together and you get maybe something a little less simple. And I love man.
That's the beauty of being a band or working on a team. It's just like, and by the way, like Shane, I don't know how to use like Pro Tools really. I don't know anything about gear. I don't really even like gear. I kind of came to that realization a few years ago that I'm like, every time I went to a music store, I'm like, I wanted a bunch of stuff, but then I was like, just the pursuit of gear for me personally. I know some people like absolutely love it and God bless them, but like, I just don't care about gear. I don't have the attention span for Pro Tools, but I love writing songs. So it's like, you know, I'm always making voice notes. I'm always hacking away, but I know that like, okay, the band is really talented. Like Tim's an amazing drummer. You know, Tony has become like an amazing sort of like producer for the band and arranger. And so is Mike, and Nick is the most like kind of meticulous, like studier and bassist that I could ask for. And we also lean on each other, you know. It's like, and that's, as you say, it's like, if you kind of, everyone sort of puts their talents forward, you can kind of get a bunch of stuff done. But
that's a great dynamic to have in a band. 'Cause sometimes you have bands where the lead singer writes all the songs, plays all the instruments, demos it all, does everything, and is basically like handing it off to the guys, where it ends up being like, they're just kind of there. You know what I mean? They didn't have any real creative input, whether it's in how something is going to be arranged or written or played or sounds. It's like, okay, here it is. You know what I mean? I've done kind of done the work for you. So I think sometimes that's a great dynamic to have in a band where it's like, hey man, I have this idea and I know it's just a voice note, but we're going to like, how can we make this come to life? You know, in what people end up hearing. And to have that be a group effort, I think just everyone's more invested in it. Everyone's more excited about it. And I think that that's just better overall for a band rather than just being like, yep, I'm Max from Arkells. I do everything. Here's my songs. You know what I mean? I think that that's
totally
really great.
No, I totally agree. And also, I think another thing I've learned is like, I really don't want to be dogmatic about anything. I think the second you become like, this is the way I do things, it's just like things get stale pretty quick. Your world kind of becomes really narrow, you know, like your worldview. It's just like, and so I can be stubborn in certain moments or I have an idea of how things should go. But I think the times I'm sort of most creative and I'm having the best time is when I'm just keeping my eyes peeled to good ideas. And even, you know, with this new record, the last couple records we made, and I love all our records for different reasons. You know, we made, it was sort of, they were kind of made during COVID and the band had to do a lot of stuff remotely. And, you know, we were working with some amazing producers who really had their sort of like creative touch on all the songs. And I love the songs and I'm really proud of the music. But when we were kind of finished the cycle back in last fall, the guys mentioned like, you know, it'd be kind of fun just to like really just make it just the five of us. Cause we hadn't really done that in a while. You know, we had done a lot of features on the last record.
Yep.
You know, we just hadn't been like a band in the truest sense of the word. So I was like, okay, cool. Yeah. Let's give that a go. You know, if that actually, it's an old idea, but at this point in the cycle, it feels kind of fresh again. You know, it's like, there's some things that you kind of get tired of, but then they become new.
I know.
And yep. we just got together back in January just to kind of hang out and jam. And we ended up making this really quiet, introspective record, and it was like the dead of winter. There's a bunch of sort of breakup songs on there. Mm-hmm. Nobody was telling anybody really what to play. There was like not, you know, typically sometimes when you're jamming, you're like, how about this? I was like, no, everyone's just gonna do exactly what they want to do, and we're just gonna run the songs a boatload of times, and people will figure it out as they go. And so it's like when we started recording for real, like later in February and March, we ended up using a bunch of like the stuff on like the original like demo.
I love
like a lot of Mike's guitar. It's just I kind of like what I played here.
Yeah, I know.
So it was good. And you know, it's just so cool because it's like, fuck, it's like our ninth record. And it feels like one of my favorites. And it's just like, we were learning something new. It felt like totally different than anything we've done. So like just on a personal level, on a band building level, on a sense of like artistic satisfaction, it was really special. And that was just because it was like, okay, let's just try new shit. Let's see what feels good and go in that direction.
Yeah. You went from five records to nine records pretty damn quick, huh? Yeah, it's like you putting out one record a year for the past 4 years, literally, which is pretty wild. But the new record, we need to talk about it. Laundry Pile, it is out. Mm-hmm. Well, now it came out September 21st, so it's very, very fresh. Produced by my old buddy Derek Hoffman.
What a guy
that guy is, huh?
I know. I just saw him in the park yesterday.
He's always playing basketball. Yeah. He's like a huge basketball guy now,
and he plays with Bill, right? Doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, our bass player Billy. That's right. All the time they play together, and it's funny because like when we made the record. We made one record with Derek back in 2017.
Oh, you did? Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Oh,
awesome. Yeah, we did a record with Derek. He's great. But he didn't like really, he wasn't like into sports yet. And then the Raptors like winning and everything, like he got way into it, like so into it. And I love that for him. He's like a diehard now.
You need that sort of release, especially if you're in Derek's job and he's just like at a computer with an instrument with a different artist every other day. It's just like, you're going so hard. There's so much pressure on you. So after like 12 hours of that in a studio, it's like, okay, go watch the Raptors and be in your happy place. I'm in a group chat with him, with a bunch of other basketball buddies. And that's his like favorite thing.
I know. I love it. No, he's Derek is such an interesting producer because some producers like aren't great musicians. It's like, oh, I'm not really that good a musician, so I became a producer kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Derek is like, he's the best singer in the room, best guitar player in the room, best drummer in the room, writes awesome songs, like always has the right answer to everything. It's really, making a record with him is kind of like, kind of crazy. How was it? I know you've worked with him on some other stuff too in the past, but how was that? And, you know, kind of taking these songs that the five of you put together and then bringing them into Derek's world, kind of bringing them to life in, like, you know, studio. How was that process?
It was awesome. You know, we did a couple Christmas songs with Derek at first, mm-hmm. I think. And then we did a song on Blink once and like half the record on Blink twice with him. And each time the relationship was a little bit different, which I think speaks to Derek's like flexibility. There's some songs where he's a little more heavy handed and involved. And there's other songs where he's just sort of guiding it. And on this record, I think he's done three of the songs on Laundry Pile. But the other experience I had with him was making music for this TV show, The Dessert, which is like a very silly sketch comedy show.
Yes.
Made and created by my buddies who I do a podcast with.
It's so funny, dude. I love this. I love this show.
Oh, thank you for checking it out. Yeah.
And it's like, people call it, like, you call it sketch comedy, but it feels so much bigger and brighter and more to it than that. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I could talk about that forever. I know. I mean, the reality is the guys made, there's six episodes, but within six episodes, there's 50 different sketches and setups and locations and styles of shooting. So it's like, it's a show that, you know, looks about 20 times the amount of money it actually costs. And it's just because my friends are so talented, Mike and Shane and director Mark Myers, who directs all the Arkell stuff.
So
they did like a masterful job putting that show together. And Shane, who I do the podcast with, Shane Cunningham, and who stars and creates The Dessert, he would say, okay, Max, I want a song that sounds like The Flaming Lips, Do You Realize? Or I want a song that sounds like Julian Casablancas in The Voids, or this Brandon Flowers solo song. So he just gave me a reference and I'm like, okay, cool. Let me sit with that. And I'd come up with a little voice note and then I'd walk across the park. I'd walk across Trinity Bowens to Derek's studio.
Yeah.
And I'm like, all right, Derek, let's figure this out in like 2 hours. Like, let's just like, here's what I'm thinking. I'd map out the song. I have the lyrics and the melody. And then, as you say, Derek's such a talented musician that he can kind of play anything. And if I could just kind of like describe what I want to hear, Derek can usually do it. You know, I'm like, I want a guitar that kind of feels a little fuzzy and does this. And then the bend gets weird here. And then there's a breakdown. And so he's so talented. And the thing, which I think is super, super important, which I was talking to the guys in Arkell's about, is like doing stuff outside of your band creatively is just so valuable. Because if you're lucky enough to have a band where that's like your only thing and the only people that you interact with is the band and that's how you pay your bills.
Right.
First of all, you're very, very lucky, but I'd argue that you're not necessarily growing, because like for growth, you need to do other stuff. Like you need, because if it's just the same conversation over and over and over again, it's hard to find anything new. And that's why bands bring in great producers, which I think can help. But whenever anybody, I just find when somebody does something in another group and then brings it back to the band, there, I don't know, I think there's just like a new perspective and a new outlet like for creativity. And I think for me, like getting to hang out with Derek just in that context, just like making stuff with him for a TV show with like no pressure, I was like, oh, I'm just like learning tricks. You know, I'm just sort of like,
right.
I feel like I'm my songwriting, my, you know, contributions to production, all of that is just like improved because it was just like in a different setting. So yeah, that's, I think, one of the things I've learned lately.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, the record, Laundry Pile, is out 9/21, or out now probably, depending on when I put this up.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Now the bit, you know, the first, well, not the first single released, but the latest one, Skin. I love this music video too. I thought it was going to be like a one shot until you guys started disappearing. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe not. But the video is really cool. The song is great. Talk to me about this one in particular. Obviously you chose it as kind of a, you know, a single, a future track.
Mm-hmm.
What goes into that? Like what goes into the conversation saying, okay, we've got all these songs we wrote together, but which one is, you know, going to be like the one of the batch?
Well, you know, I feel like on other records, there's usually a healthy conversation because there's enough like peppy tunes that like, you know, you think, oh, every song is a single when you're writing it, when you're trying to write those kinds of records. This album, it was pretty obvious that that was going to be the single because it's by far like the peppiest and most conventional kind of R. Kelly's rock and roll song on the record. Like there's a lot of songs don't have drums until after the first chorus. There's three songs that are in 6/8, which you probably wouldn't hear on the radio. Like that are basically like a waltz.
I love those. You know me too. That brings me back to my emo roots, dude. I love it.
Yeah, no, totally. Like and there's a song where like the first half is just an instrumental. So Skin felt like a natural choice as a tune. And, you know, it's funny that you mentioned that you thought it was gonna be a one shot. I had this idea that it would be a one shot. And I was like, let's see how far we can get with our director, Mark Myers, and how interesting it can be. And you know, we were going to do this thing where it was the one shot, the zoom ins were all going to be in post. And it had a charm, but then it kind of lost it by the time the cuts start to happen. So, you know, we did our best to kind of make it a oneer, but we had to kind of abandon ship. But, you know, it's interesting. It's like the nature of music videos is a funny, funny one these days because it's just like, you know, back when we were starting bands, it was like you had to make rad of a video as possible, because if that thing, you know, picked up steam and got on TV, that was like a huge, huge advantage.
Yep.
But now it's just like, what do music videos even mean? Like visual content's really important, obviously with TikTok and YouTube's important, but it's like this idea that like a music video is going to like change the world. Seems like it's very, very unlikely. So we have opted the route where it's like, let's make as much visual content as we can. And like, this is the focus track. And so, and we shot it at a laundromat around the corner from my house, just like literally on Ossington.
Yeah.
And, but let's not spend 2 days on it. Let's not spend an arm and a leg. Let's just like kind of do it ourselves. Like basically all the music videos that we've made in the last 5 years have been totally self-produced. It's just basically like Ash and I just kind of like walking around going, oh, maybe we could shoot it at Billy Bishop Airport. Okay. we did. It's like, maybe we could shoot it. And we walked over to the Dufferin Mall, no frills. Like, what if we just shoot it here? You know, what if we just shot at this laundromat? And it's just literally us just like chasing down small business owners. Like, yo, can we use it, please?
not the Walmart at Dufferin Mall. I've seen some shit, man, in that place.
Yeah, that is a crazy location. Yeah, the no frills video was sort of still kind of COVID times.
Right.
But so, you know, I mean, to answer an earlier question too, it's like, how do we, you know, make the best of our time? It's like everything we do is like sort of driven by us. So, you know, with that song, we're like, okay, we want to get everybody in and out in 4 hours. We don't want to spend more than like a couple $1,000. We know Mark is going to do it because he's so talented. It's Mark Myers who directed The Dessert and does all the R. Kelly stuff.
Right.
And the album's called Laundry Pile. We could do it at a laundry mat. Let's just like make sure the band looks as good as possible and do it. And, yeah. So I think there's something to be said for like, just like working with a budget, working on a tight deadline and just, you know, just getting it done. So, it felt like,
You know, being Canadian and all the much music stuff and the video awards and all that, like I don't know. There's always been that factor money, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, is that just kind of dried up now? Is that not something that you guys are getting anymore? Because I mean, back in the day, it was like, hey, here's $100,000. Go make a video. Do whatever the fuck you want. Like that was a reality there, you know, years back. And I don't even know if it is anymore or if.
Yeah, we haven't participated in any of that stuff in a long time. Like of course in the early days, especially when we were on Dine Alone and
yeah.
And we were more of a baby band, we would take probably any grant money that we could get. But now we don't apply for it. We feel like that money would probably be better served for somebody else. But
that's cool. That's really, really noble of you guys.
We're lucky and we're happy that, you know, there are arts councils and grant systems for young creatives. But yeah, I know it's funny. It's just like, again, kind of goes back to that conversation. It's like, how do you want to get the word out? What can you do in an honest and authentic way? What do you feel like is totally you and representing your music and your art as best as it can? And just doing it. You know, I think one of the reasons why, you know, we can get a lot done is that our manager, Ashley, is just like a machine. And it's always about kind of like pushing the rock up a hill. But it's like, if you have somebody who's super fucking determined, and it's like, I'm pushing this motherfucker up
right
20 feet today. Let's go.
Yeah.
That's what she is. Because a lot of people, like, you know, maybe they don't push the rock at all. Or maybe they push it a foot and then they call it a day. But we're pretty determined just to kind of keep things moving.
I love it. Well, speaking of determined, the US market sometimes eludes Canadian bands. Mm-hmm. You know, bands that are signed directly to Canadian labels, sometimes it's been hard. There are way more bands that have been, we're massive in Canada and we can't do anything in the States. And a lot of bands don't even try.
Mm-hmm.
But here you guys are releasing your record, and your first tour right after it's released is in the US. And we're not just talking just border towns. You guys are doing, you know, some pretty solid venues. Talk to me about that decision, just to kind of go for that right away. And you know, I know in the past you've done some pretty good supports. Like I think you supported Frank Turner
mm-hmm.
a few years back and some other things. And, you know, a lot of times some artists kind of can't stomach the like, oh, well, we play to like 30,000 people in Hamilton and we're going to go to across the border and play to 300. You know, a lot of people kind of can't do that, but you guys do it and you do it really well.
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And I know it's the kind of thing that I think comes up in the Canadian music industry, but also I think it kind of comes up in every market for every local band that's doing well in one place and has like more work to do in other places. And I think like the first thing is like, I think we're a lot more used to playing clubs in general than a big stadium show. You know, like we've
right.
in Canada, you know, we've done Scotiabank Arena, we've done Bud Stage, we did a big show in Hamilton a couple of times, and you know, we're super proud of our fan base up here and the support we've gotten. But I think first of all, it helps that like everybody in the band is pretty egoless and just kind of wants to work. Like nobody, like Nick, our bassist, is like a monk. And literally anytime anybody in our band like has a whiff of like, I'm too good for this, he puts them right in their place. He has a lot of Catholic guilt. Like, so I think our temperament lends itself well to just kind of going out and just like taking on any gig with a smile and trying to make the most of it. And I think the other thing too is because I know there's this narrative that like, oh, Canadian bands, some are big here but like other markets are tough. But like, if you go to England, there are massive bands in England and we've done festivals over there that I've never heard of.
Oh,
that
for
make
sure.
Music very similar. And if they were to come to America or Canada, would be playing to 300 people. When we were in Berlin, I saw like the ad mat for Lollapalooza Berlin. There was like two bands I recognized
yeah.
and the rest were just like, I don't know. Same thing with Australian bands. And more than this, which I think is even more interesting, is that there was a period of time over probably like 10 years that we'd go headline America And our booking agent would say, okay, you got to take out this band. They're American. They're from New York. They're from LA. And they just got signed to a cool, really cool label. They have a really big, big agent behind them. There's going to be a big push. They're going to open for you guys. All right, cool. Great. None of those bands exist anymore. So it's like none of them do. Like literally none of the bands that like those bands that were like really cool, hip, making great music. And so, by the way, it's not because they're bad bands. It's just because it's so fucking hard. So it's just like, it's not even just a Canadian thing. It's just being in a band thing. You know what I mean? Like it's just so funny because I just think about all the bands that we toured with. I'm like, oh, that's not a band. That's not a band. Like the fact that, you know, Silverstein has been, what year did you guys put out your first record?
2003.
Okay. What you guys have done makes you immediately in the top like 1% of bands of all time. Being in a band, honestly, I'm not kidding. Being in a band for as long as you have and continuing to tour and continuing to earn a living,
right?
Like a comfortable living and playing the rooms that you do and having the fans that you have, immediately you put in the 1%. Like I always try to think about it that way because I know we all have our hangups. I'm like, oh, I wish this was bigger here. Or I wish sold more records. Like everybody has that. But it can't be understated that if you are a musician writing and singing your own songs and that is your only job and you have a comfortable life, like you are so much further along than 98% of musicians. So,
I have no complaints. Mm-hmm. I have no complaints over here. I feel extremely lucky to be where I'm at. And I think if anything, it's more the imposter syndrome that starts to come over you mm-hmm. that you're like, well, why me? I know. I'm not the best singer. I'm an average guitar player. Like, I don't have, you know, whatever it is, like that thing, you know, I don't know. Why do I have it? Why is it, you know, that's when you start to get in your own head a little bit about it. I don't know if that's been something that you've ever wrestled with, you know, with how much success you've had.
Well, you know, it's funny. Yes, I definitely identify with those feelings, but the thing that, I can point to, and you have this too, which is like, oh, you know what? Like there are a lot of really talented musicians and a lot of really talented songwriters and frontmen. But like, there's only a certain amount of spots. Like, you know what I mean? Like just in the public imagination. Like, and so it's like, okay, how do you get anybody to care? And then it just kind of comes down to just like kind of hustling and in a thoughtful way, in a way that's true to yourself.
Right.
And just working really hard and being resilient, because it's like, I don't know. I just think about some of the amazing, amazing bands that our peers and that we came up with. And for one reason or another, it's like they don't have the same sort of like enthusiasm and excitement behind what they're doing. And it's not because they're not amazing. They're fucking incredible. They inspire me. I listen to their records all the time.
Totally.
But it's like there's some like combination of maybe bad luck or, you know, energy or stamina, which is, you know, a huge part of it that maybe is not there. But it's not because they're not amazing, but there is sort of like a war of contrition that kind of happens in this thing where you have to kind of like wake up and go like, okay, how do I have fun today? Because if you can kind of keep it like that, then you can work a lot more. But the second things get heavy or there's infighting in a band or there's distractions, that's when the work stops being fun. And that's when bands stop doing the work. And that's when things kind of fade away.
Such a good point.
So I think that's like, I think we've like tried our best to just like, okay, how do we keep healthy? How do we keep enjoying each other's company?
Yeah.
How do we have fun? You know, and those sound sort of simple, but they're so hard. Like to be in a business and a creative pursuit with people you met randomly when you were 17 years old at university and then now this is your life. It's a totally bizarre job.
Yes, it is.
But it's, but if you can, you know, if you can keep it fun and interesting, then I think, and then you have a shot.
Yes, it is. Wow. Well, we all went through a dark time throughout the COVID period, mm-hmm. you know, not being able to do stuff. You guys stayed very creative, doing a lot of stuff, but the return, doing the three back-to-back shows at the Budweiser stage in Toronto, that must have felt pretty special. I wanted to ask you specifically about that, you know, kind of how beaten down we all felt having to go through this, you know, not even just as musicians, but just people, you know? How many, you know, just us being stuck at home, especially someone like you, mm-hmm. you've said like, I need to go out. I need to go walks. I need to go here. Like you being stuck at home sounds terrible for your personality.
I know, it was really hard. So
yes, talk to me about that. Just seeing everybody back out, enjoying music, and kind of just remembering like, oh shit, like this is fun and we're good at this and people care about this.
Yeah, it was interesting. You know, a lot of people still come up to me and go, oh, those shows back in August 2021, those Bud State shows were like so meaningful. And it was great too, because it was really the only game in town. Like Shane, like there's no, like now there's like, you know, concerts every night, everywhere, different venues, Bud State shows. But it's like, if you wanted any live music in Toronto or the greater Toronto area, you're like, I guess I got our gals. There's like two other shows that entire summer.
That's really funny.
So we benefited from that. But I will say it's kind of a surreal experience, because we had so much work to do, because basically like as of like 2 weeks out, it was like our venue's going to be at 30% capacity or 50 or 75%. So that number was changing.
Yeah.
And you know, the tickets moved quickly, but then we're like, shit, we got to put a show together. Like we haven't played a show in whatever, like 18 months. And like all of our crew, like nobody's been working. We're like, how the fuck do we do this? And they're not just like little shows. Like we wanted to put on this big thing. So it's like,
course.
You know, what does the merch look like? What does the stage design look like? How are the set lists different every night? What's the cover we're going to do? Like, how do we fucking pull it off? So to be honest, like it was a whirlwind, and I don't think I totally had a chance to appreciate what was going on, because it just became all about the work and the stress around the work. But by the Sunday show, because we did Friday, Saturday, Sunday, by Sunday, we kind of knew we were in the clear, because we're like, okay, the weather was awesome.
Right.
We know how to do this. So Sunday, like everyone's like having drinks on stage and just like kind of fucking around in the best possible way. and so Sunday I got to enjoy it. But I can tell you everything up to like, you know, Friday and Saturday was like
stress city. Yeah.
God, how are we doing this? So it was just a ton of work, but you know, the work is the fun part too. So we weren't complaining.
Awesome, man. Geez, what else to talk to you about? I have like I interview people all the time, right? And I put together my list of notes. I just have so much for you here. Like I'm like, I want to ask about Coachella and the NHL awards and the Grey Cup and Oceaga and, you know, and Kyle Dubas. Like I want to ask you about all these things. It's like, I'm just going to throw them out and you just pick one, you know, I guess.
Okay. Yeah.
Cause I know we have like, we could talk for 3 fucking hours about all this.
Yeah. I think, you know, I think maybe the Grey Cup is sort of a fun thing to talk about, because, you know, we got to do it in, was it 22? What year are we in? No, 21.
What year is it? Yeah.
Yeah. Was it December 21?
Wasn't it last year?
No, what year are we in? We're 23. Yeah, I guess,
right. Yes.
Oh yeah. I think it was, no, it wasn't 22. It was 21. So it was December 21, and it was in Hamilton, and it was really cool because, you know, I love watching like a great halftime show. You know, I love watching a great television performance, and it's so funny because the thing that you get as a viewer just going to a concert that can translate like amazingly in a live setting doesn't necessarily work on TV. And I've seen lots of bands, like my favorite bands, try to do something on TV. And I'm like, oh, the charm isn't there, or the messiness feels too messy through the broadcast. Like, there's like so many things that kind of make you pause and go, okay, what is actually the, you know, what is the thing that will make a TV viewer, especially one who doesn't even know the band or care about the band, how do you make them not change the channel? So that was basically like the goal. When we got the gig, we're like, okay, we know we're going to be playing a lot of people that are watching on TV across Canada, and we have 14 minutes to impress them. But like the minute something gets boring,
that's not bad. Actually 14 minutes isn't bad.
14 minutes is a long time. Yeah. You know, it's like on TV, you know, it's a long time. And so it's like, okay, but we just don't want anyone to change the channel. So it's like, how do we cram everything we've ever learned as like a live band in the last like 15 years into 14 minutes? Like what's every trick in the book to keep it visually stimulating? So from there, it kind of turned into like more of a theatrical show than like a rock concert. Cause it's like, okay, we're going to open on the field. We're going to have the horns with us. We're going to do this like marching band thing. to our song Years in the Making. And that, but that's going to lead us to the next look, which is Leather Jacket on the stage. And these are all like condensed versions of the song.
Right.
But then we can't have anybody on the field watching because like the CFL didn't want people on the field. So, okay, what if we put them behind us? So the crowd was sort of in the shot, but you're feeling their energy singing along to Leather Jacket.
Wow.
And then, okay, could we get a guest? Okay. Like, okay, do you think the Lumineers would do it? We have this song, Quitting You, which was just us trying to rip off the Lumineers. Could we get them to come and sing that song with us and we'll cover one of their songs? And then like fucking luck would have it, they were down to do it. So they come up. So we go to this B stage and we have this like intimate moment where like the stadium is behind us and you see, you know, one side of Tim Hortons Field all lit up with their lighters. And we're doing a song with the fucking Lumineers, which is still crazy. Then we head back to the stage and Kayflay is waiting for us because we have the song You Can Get It with Kayflay.
Yeah.
And then we're ending with Knocking at the Door with Fireworks. So it's like writing that show out was like something we've never done before, but it was still sort of like the ideas and like a lot of the stage bits and that we've developed over the last 15 years. So it was really cool to be able to sort of like take on that kind of assignment because we've just never done anything like that before. So
no, totally.
That was just a really cool experience. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously you got to think about like, oh, well, where is the camera? Right? Like what, mm-hmm. when, you know, where am I looking for this shot? Right? Because that's not something you really worry about when you're on a stage playing. You
never,
look wherever the fuck you want. Do what, you know, it's like, oh, but for this shot, I have to be here on the stage. And it's like, not only do I have to do that, I also have to sing the songs and remember the words. And, you know, it's a lot of stuff. It's like, that must have been probably pretty damn stressful too.
Oh, it's crazy. And then it's funny too, because the aftermath of it, it was funny. Ash withholds information from me sometimes when she knows it's like probably pointless to tell me. But like it turned out that the opening act that played like before the game, he had his monitors completely cut out during the show. So he couldn't hear himself singing. Oh. And apparently like it was tough. And then moments before we went on, that camera that was supposed to be on the grass with us to open the show wasn't working. And then it finally started to work. So like there's all these other parts of the production that you're kind of, and you're flying by the seat of your pants. It's like, it's all completely live. And you kind of don't know what it looks like until you're done. And like, even we're supposed to run this show like 100 times on the Saturday, but there were these crazy windstorms and all of production got shut down. So we basically had one run through on the Sunday morning and that was all we had. And but it worked out great. We're super, super proud of it. We put a lot of work into it.
No, that's awesome. Cool. And for the Americans listening, if you don't know what the Grey Cup is, it's like the Super Bowl of Canada. So yes, it's like 85% Americans that listen to this. So
Cool. Yeah. It's the CFL Canadian Football League.
Yes.
Yeah. It's the final game.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And go see, if you're American, go see Arkells on their tour starting at the end of this month, September 29th.
Yeah, tell them Shane sent you.
Yes.
And I'll be like, hell yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. I hope I can catch one too. Dude, well, congrats on the new record out now, Laundry Pile, the tour coming up, everything else you got going on with the dessert. What else to tell the people, man, before I let you go?
Oh, good question. No, this is an amazing chat. Thank you again for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Of course, anytime.
And we're just pumped. I mean, yeah, if you're in the mood for a good old rock and roll show, we'd love to see you.
Who's going to be the next Toronto team to win a championship? Will it be the Leafs, the Raptors, or the Toronto Blue Jays?
That's a great question. Let's go with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This year?
Yes.
Looking a little dicey. I don't know. They got to make the playoffs first.
Put my money on it.
Yeah. And yeah, I know your buddy, Kyle Dubas, general manager, former mm-hmm. general manager of the Maple Leafs is now in Pittsburgh, but you're staying on the Leafs train, right? Like forever.
Oh, of course.
No matter what happens, how are you feeling about the Maple Leafs? Do you think that it was just a little unlucky last year? They make a deep run?
I mean, playoff hockey is impossible. It's just like nothing makes sense. You know what I mean? Like teams that are the lowest seed end up making the Stanley Cup final right. often.
Right.
Series is decided by random deflections or, you know, it's just like, it's like, you know, I like basketball and baseball are my first love and I'm later with hockey, but like,
me too.
I can't actually. Watch, like, it's almost too stressful. Like, it's just like playoff hockey, there's nothing like it. And it's, you know, I'm happy that they're keeping the core together. I'm happy Sheldon's back and, you know, I always think of the law of averages, like something needs to break our way. You know, if you just do it enough times, it's like something yep. needs to happen, you know?
Well, we had the Raptors championship and I'm like, uh-oh, we got that one. Does that mean we're not going to get any more for like another, you know, 30 years? I hope not.
Yeah, we got it.
Well, Max, thank you so much for doing this. Have a good show tonight in Kingston.
Yeah, thank you.
And yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to play your latest single, Skin. For the people right here
awesome.
On Lead Singer Syndrome. Thanks again, Max.
Thanks so much.
I like your skin on Sunday morning after you've had 5 drinks at the bar. And I like your skin when it's hot in the summer, reading a book by yourself at the park. And I like your skin when you're getting goosebumps, whispering things that you want to hear. I like your skin when it's freezing cold. Let me kiss you at midnight every new year. But it don't mean nothing when it's only skin deep. I'm promising everything, but what can I keep? If you want the real thing, you're tired of acting like we're living a lie. I don't wanna miss a thing. I don't wanna miss another day. I thought I knew what I wanted when I started. You're asking, did the feeling fade? What happens when you hear my name? I thought I knew what I wanted when I started. You ask me what might have changed. I want skin in the game. You don't want to hear it. Rolling your eyes when my heart's on my sleeve. And I love your skin when we're old and dancing. Just give me a look when you're ready to leave. It ain't worth discussing if it can't get deep. If it feels like I'm running, then it all gets cheap. You want the real thing, you're tired of acting. Can I see you tonight? I don't want to miss a thing. I don't want to miss another day.
New music from the Arkells and Skin. Max, just the best guy ever. I want to thank him so much for taking time out of his extremely, extremely busy schedule to shoot the shit with me. And don't forget, the new Arkells album is out September 21st, which I think means out now. And they're going on tour all across the US, and I'm sure they'll be doing a whole bunch of stuff in Canada and elsewhere really soon. So go see them. They're a really, really fucking good band. And then go back and listen to their other 8 albums that they've put out, which are all really, really good too. I want to thank Max again so much, and Ash, his manager, for making this shit happen. Next week, I'll be back again. If you can't wait a whole week for another episode, you can go back and listen to the 300 other episodes or whatever I have. And make sure if you enjoy this thing, you try to spread the word a little bit. That's how we do it over here. Tell a friend, tell a loved one, write a review on iTunes, post on your social media about it. Whatever, man. It all helps so, 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 so much. That's it. You know what? I'll play another one. This song is kind of hauntingly awesome, and I really want to play it, and I'm going to. Here's the title track from the new Arkells record, Laundry Pile, on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next week.
I want to pull you close to me in the morning. Tell me about your dreams before you forget. When I'm with you, the whole world gets so quiet. I don't need nothing else. It's okay if your mind begins to wander. It's okay if you're not always at your best. Don't believe that anything's for certain. I don't believe we've turned the lights off yet. I already love the parts you don't like in yourself. We don't need some fancy hotel. You're home from the bar. Do you need a friend? Laundry pile sitting at the end of the bed. Could have the world, but now you're looking at me. I've been scared of what you might see. You're home from the bar. Do you need a friend? I could help you put the sheets back on the bed. There's a million places that I'd die to see you. Walking west on a beach around sunset. I think of you every time the plane gets bumpy. I see you laughing, saying deep breaths. You said you don't like your face in any photos. Can you trust the voice inside your head? We both know my ideas are mostly stupid. I don't believe we've turned the lights off yet. I already love the parts you don't like in yourself. We don't need some fancy hotel. You're home from the bar. Do you need a friend? Laundry pile sitting at the end of the bed. Could have the world. Now you're looking at me. I've been scared of what you might see. You're home from the bar. Do you need a friend? I could help you put the sheets back on the bed.